The scripture I'm going to choose tonight is going to go along with my testimony, and after a while you'll understand why I picked this scripture. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, first of all, I'd like to say it's a privilege to be able to share my life story. I'm a walking miracle. But in verse 7 of that first chapter of 2 Timothy, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I was born January 11th, 1966, in Tipton, Indiana. And when I was about 2 years old, Mom and Dad was going to a Baptist church. In fact, my dad had been affiliated with a little bit with the Church of God when he was a boy. My grandmother, my dad was born illegitimate and he didn't know his father. And grandma lived in Alabama, Crane Hill, Alabama. And right up the road there was a Church of God, and sometimes Dad would go to that church. And as he got older, he ended up living with his great-grandparents in Indiana. Then when the time came, he got old enough, he got married. He married my mother. Mom didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about church. And Dad told her what he knew. And I remember her telling me that the year after I was born, I had a brother born that was, he wasn't able to urinate, and they had to put a bag on him. He would have been born a year after I was born, and Mom didn't know if there was a God or not, and she said a prayer. She said, "Lord, if there is a God, if you exist, and you see that Jeff is going to suffer the rest of his life, take him to where you live." And 19 days later, Jeff passed away, and it made a believer out of her. And some Baptist people started coming around and talking to my dad and trying to get him in church, and begin to talk to him about the false doctrine of eternal security and use me as an example. Paul's your son. He was born in your family. And Dad took it to God. They told him, once Paul's your son, he's always your son. And they tried to use that as a spiritual thing. And he went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I want the truth." And one day he was reading the scripture in Proverbs where it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And at that time we were attending the Baptist church, and Mom had not gotten saved yet, but they would go to the house and they'd say, "Betty, repent, Betty, repent." And she said, "Paul, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what they was talking about." But one day she was watching Billy Graham on TV. She had turned the TV on and just for noise, and he started preaching repentance. And a light bulb came on. And she knelt by the TV and asked the Lord to forgive her of her sins and became a Christian. Well, Dad realized that the Baptist church was not the truth, and we went right into a friend's church. They call them Quakers, and Mom loved to have communion. She had taken communion in the Baptist church, and when she found out the friends did not believe in baptism or communion, we left and started going to Wesleyan church. When I was 3 years old, we lived on my great-grandpa's farm. Grandpa had been dead for several years, and Dad and Mom had rented that property, and I was upstairs one night in bed, and I dreamed that I went to hell. And I began to scream. Mom, Dad was downstairs, I was upstairs, and they told me to come downstairs, and I ran into their room, and I said, "I dreamed I went to hell." Mom and Dad wanted to know if I wanted to pray and ask God to come into my life, and I did. I stayed true to the Lord for 3 years until I was on the swing set singing, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," and the kids began to make fun of me. And I got discouraged and I quit. I wished I hadn't have. I would have had 50 years of serving God. But after we had started going to the Wesleyan church, there were some problems there, and Mom and Dad left and started going to a Bible Covenant. And I wished that we would have been introduced into the Church of God back then, but we wasn't. But we did what we thought was right. Mom and Dad started continuing to be faithful, and later on we moved to a little town called Summitville, Indiana, when I was 12 years old, and God began to talk to me about ministry. And so I would get all the kids in the neighborhood, and I would go underneath the old water tower down by the street by our down the street from our house, and I began to preach to 40 and 50 kids. It was in my heart. And I remember later on, my mom told me that a man came up to her when he heard her name at a business place, and he said, "Is Paul your son?" And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, when we were 12 years old, Paul used to go underneath the water tower and preach." And he said, "I've given my life to Christ, and I'm going to church now." And I thought, one soul's worth it all, no matter how old the person that gives the message. And the neighborhood kids, I don't know how many of them ever got help. Only God knows. But at the age of 7, I remember we lived out at Grandpa's old farmhouse. And I loved to play Tarzan. I don't know if some of you kids heard of Tarzan, but we had a smokehouse, and they had a wire that went to the main to our house. And I was the type of kid that liked to climb trees and swing and carry on like most kids. Mom told me to stay off that wire. She said, "It'll electrocute you." Well, I thought, you know, not me. I'll get off. Well, I got up there and it started shocking me, and I couldn't get off, and I began to holler, "Help!" Mom was talking to her grandmother, and she said, "Paul, what do you want? What are you doing?" And I said, "None of your business." Well, that got Mom's attention, and she come out. And it's a good thing, because I was being electrocuted and I was dying. And she pulled the juice and I dropped to the floor, and she walked me up and down the road. And then when I was 7 years old, I fell in the lake and about drowned. But God wasn't done with me yet. When we still lived out in the farmhouse, we had a tornado come through, and we lived in a wide open area. The field west of us was wide open, and we had a picture window, and we had a tornado come through, and I was praying, "Oh Lord, don't let the tornado get us. Keep us safe." And we heard this big banging noise on top of the house when the tornado hit. And Mom had a neighbor man by the name of Joe Day. He was a Catholic. And he called my mom and he said, "Something strange happened at your house a while ago." He said, "This tornado came across my field and it got right up to your picture window." And he said, "I told my wife, if the Featherstones are in there, they're going to die or get hurt." And that thing had jumped up in the air, went on top of the house, knocked over the chimney, and then bounced into the orchard and tore up the apple trees. But that was the time that I was praying, "Lord, protect us from that tornado. Don't let the tornado get us." Amen. When I was 17, I was learning how to swim, and I still ain't learned how to swim yet, but I about drowned. But you know what? God got me out of that situation, because he had a plan for me, and I'm still here today. But at the age of 17, God began to talk to me about really settling down and getting in the ministry. And I had plans. I love sports. I love to play softball. When I went to Christian Day School, starting in the eighth grade, we did a lot of softball playing, basketball. And I love sports, and I was a good ball player. I could hit the ball pretty good and wasn't too bad at pitching. And I had a dream that someday I would get in the major leagues. And I had plans. I was going to go in the major leagues, and I was going to pitch for the Chicago Cubs, because that was our traditional family. We loved the Cubs, and I want Dad to be proud of me. And I thought, if I could just get in the majors and be famous. And because when I was in school, I had been picked on. I'd been bullied a lot, because I had a attention deficit disorder and learning disability. But one night at a youth revival, or one Sunday morning, God began to deal with my heart. And while I was in regular school, I had a hard time learning. I had a hard time keeping up with all the teachers and all the class. And that's why Mom and Dad put me in a Christian Day School. It was called Accelerated Christian Education. And that did a whole lot better for me. But when I was 17, God began to talk to me in that morning, and I went to the altar, and I was trying to tell the Lord, when he was asking me to go into ministry, "Lord, I'm dumb. Lord, I'm not smart enough. Lord, I've struggled in school and I've had a hard time learning. You're asking the wrong person. I can't do it, Lord. My mother used to tell me, you can't do it. You'll never amount to anything." And I began to believe that, and I began to say, "Lord, I can't do it. There's no way. You're asking me to do something that's impossible." And the Lord asked me a question, and I didn't realize he was trying to teach me a lesson at the same time. He said, "If I help you, will you do it? Can you do it?" I didn't realize God was trying to show me, without me, Paul, you can't do it. And I said, Lord, that's the only way I know I could ever accomplish anything like that is with your help. And I surrendered and said, Lord, I'll do my best. I'll do my best to serve you in that capacity. And so later on in life, at the age of 21, I left home and ended up in a group home. I didn't listen to wise counsel and got in with the wrong crowd and had a nervous breakdown. Ended up in a state hospital down at Richmond, Indiana. And that was one of the darkest days of my life, to be in there for 5 months, wondering if I'd ever get out, wondering if I'd ever have freedom again. They let me out eventually. I did a lot of improving with God's help. They had me on all kinds of medication. Went back into the group home, and when I got out, and the time came that when I met their goals that they wanted me to have, they put me in somebody's house. They called it an AFA home. It'd be like, for instance, if I was to be in a group home, and let's say for instance that maybe Brother Borders or one of you other brothers and sisters decided you wanted to be in a program to where you bring someone in your home and you watch how they live, you watch if they're taking their medicine, if they're doing good or not, and then that person after so long would get out and get an apartment again. And by the grace of God, I was able to eventually get into an apartment. They asked me if I wanted to leave in June of 92 and get an apartment. I said, no, I'm not ready yet. But before that, while I was living with this person in their home, they had a Pentecostal friend that was in the nursing home ministry. And they had a preacher that wanted to retire. And Marita, the lady that ran the house, she said, I've got a guy here that's called to preach. And she said, Paul, come in the living room or the dining room. And I went in and she said, didn't you tell me you had a calling in your life? And I said, yes. And they told me the man that was running the nursing home services was dying of cancer. His name was Brother Camp. And so Judy, the lady that did the nursing home ministry with him, went back and told him all about me. And he said, you bring him here and let him preach next week. So I came and I gave a message, and he said, I want you to preach next week. And then every week he wanted me to come back. He was trying to get me comfortable and into the position to where I could eventually take over his position. And God began to help out over there. We had a lot of people get saved in nursing home. We had one lady that I give God all the glory, but when I anointed and prayed for her, she got out of her wheelchair and didn't have to walk, didn't have to sit in the wheelchair anymore. God healed her. We began to see great things happen. And you know, the devil don't like that. He'll do what he can to get rid of you and get you out of there. And he got that accomplished. But God still had a plan. When I was in my apartment, still, I finally got an apartment in November of 92. And while I was in my apartment, the caseworker came over to me, and she came in and she'd check out to make sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And she said, Paul, she said, I've got something to tell you. She was a Church of God lady with Anderson. She said, while you were in the group home, we had a staff meeting, and they said, he'll never get out. He's not motivated to change. He's satisfied with the way he is. But you know, something happened to where I desired to get out of there, and I began to do everything they asked me to do. She said, you've done a complete turnaround, 360. And I said, but give God the glory. I said, God help me. Now, there's an old saying, God helps those who helps themselves. There's some things we have to do. We can't expect God to do it all for us. But you know, God got me out of that. And I began to testify to her how God brought me out of all that. And eventually, I met my wife. That was interesting how we met. Some church people that knew me, or a church lady that knew me, called Kathy up, and she said, would you like to meet a nice young man, a Christian man? And she said, yeah, but if can he call you? And she said, well, tell him to hurry up. I've got to go to work at 2:00. This was on a Sunday afternoon. And I called Kathy, and we talked for a few minutes, and then that following Wednesday we met. Then we started dating. And on September the 24th of 94, we said our wedding vows and got married. It'll be 25 years this coming September, next month. But after I had married Kathy and we had our children, I still went to the Center for Mental Health for counseling. And they didn't want to let go of me yet. Well, I went and told the doctor I knew this preacher. His name was Brother Pitts. He was an old Nazarene, way old-fashioned Nazarene preacher. And he was very strong on divine healing. And he said, Brother Paul, he said, I don't think you have a mental condition. I think your problem is lack wisdom. He said, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And I'm going to have you come Sunday, and we're going to anoint you, and we're going to ask God to take care of this. So we did. And I took it by faith. I went to the psychiatrist that I had to see, and I said, Doctor, I want you to know that God has healed me, and I don't need your medicine no more. I took a big risk. He looked at me, friends, and he said, well, he said, I don't believe in God, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll lower your dosages 25 milligrams for a month, and if you do good, we'll lower them at 25 again. If you do good the third month, we'll take you off medicine. I said, great. No problem. What he didn't know, I began to throw my medicine away. Now, I'm not going to advocate anybody do that, but I did because I wanted a miracle. And I told God, I said, Lord, if you'll do this for me and let him see that I'm okay after the time period's up, I will tell other people as you give me opportunity. That third month rolled around, Brother Decker, and he said, you don't need medicine. We made a mistake. And I said, you know what, brother? I said, let me ask you something, doctor. Do you believe there's a God now? Well, he might exist. He might exist. And you know, from that day forward, from 1993 on, I haven't had to have any medication for anything like that. And I praise God for that. God healed me completely. And I thank him for that. In 96, my life began to change. I was living in Anderson, Indiana. Me and my wife was living in Anderson, and we got the newspaper regularly, and there was an ad in the paper that in the church section of Saturday paper, it said, Revival, Mechanicsburg Church of God. And it said, Brother Dishman is the evangelist, and to give the pastor's name, Brother Polston. And I called the number and I inquired about the revival, because I love to go to church, always have. Brother Polston called me back and said, we'd love to have you. And he asked me if I knew the area well, and I knew some of it. And I had no idea that my life was going to change later on. So I came to the service that night and got to meet Brother Dishman. And then me and Brother Allen became real good friends from then on. That we just developed a kinship. Well, off and on, I would come to his church, and I would go to the revivals. And I remember one night, Brother Decker was preaching a message, and he talked about the devil never being in heaven. Well, I'd been taught different. And I said something to Brother Polston. I said, he's preaching heresy. But, you know, I didn't realize God began to work on me and began to show me the truth. And I began to look in God's Word and look for it myself and began to have an open mind and open heart. And God has brought me to this point as I'm beginning to understand more truth. I've still got a long ways to go, and I thank God that I got to meet Brother Polston and I got to meet some of the other saints. And then Brother Polston began to trust me when he was at the Mechanicsburg Church. He had me come and fill in for him, and then other times I spoke for him. And then I had been going to another. I had wandered in the wilderness for many years, going from one church to another, trying to find something to satisfy. I didn't stay long in any church. But from August of last year until this very present hour, I have been at Brother Polston's congregation, and I've stayed in one place. And God has brought me a long way. God has helped me grow. I am what I am by the grace of God. And you are what you are by the grace of God. I thank God that he opened my eyes to the truth, because I had an open heart. You know, it's difficult for a person to be in Babylon for 52 years and try to learn a new way of thinking. But you know, God has helped. He's opened my understanding, and I don't know it all yet. He's still working on me. He's still teaching me. And sometimes I can go to Brother Decker or one of the other preachers and say, what does this mean? How do I? And they're always willing to help me out. And I want to thank God for bringing me into the church. I used to hear people say, I saw the church. And I think, well, I drive by churches all the time. But I didn't understand until God opened my eyes. And then I saw the church. Now, my wife is different. She doesn't want anything to do with Church of God. But you know what? God knows how to change all that. And I believe He will. I believe she'll come around. I'm going to take the faith. If God could get me out of the mess I was in and get me out of a state hospital and get me out of group homes and live on my own and get married and stay married 24 years, He can help Kathy see the truth. Amen. And that's what I'm longing for. I want my wife with me. I feel lonely when she's not here. But I do want to say before I close this out that I really appreciate all you young people, because some of you, when I'm on the platform with the other ministers and I see those hands go up while we're singing, it thrills my heart. It means a lot to me. And I thank you for doing that. And I just want to continue to walk in the light. And as He is in the light, I thank God for the church. I thank God that I saw the church eventually. And I'm looking forward to learning more and more. I've got a long ways to go, like I said earlier. But by the grace of God, we're going to make it. And we can make it if we'll purpose in our heart to be what God wants us to be.